Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Everything good I said about Auburn, it was all true. And I thought it equaled 35-9. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. On a Monday, last week, all the Auburn positivity that I had, and it was plentiful. I tried to keep it in check as far as there were also, you know, some items on the other side of the scale. But as the week progressed and coming off what happened in Baton Rouge, I included the good. Now, ultimately, I mean, we all, if you were listening, I said, yeah, this game looks really 35-9 to me. It wound up 34-10, but I said, 35-9 is really what I'm seeing. And that was after I had said, Bo is better now than he's ever been. And he's not perfect and he's not a finished product, but Bo has improved. It's not just run around Bo. There's more to him. Tank Bigsby is a truly elite running back that defenses have decided that if the earth stops spinning on its axis, Tank Bigsby is not going to beat us. And that was Georgia State, and then that was LSU, and then even on Saturday, but no running backs really beat Georgia. So I talked about Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter and the offensive line and Colby Wooden, and that the linebackers, they don't get the pub and they won't get the ink and they will not get the votes in December. Auburn's linebackers, when they are healthy and all playing, and that's not right now, they're as productive and capable as any unit in the entire SEC. And they got a great place kicker, and I like the punter, and this, that, and a third. I went through all of that. And all of it's true. And I thought it would be 35-9. It ended 34-10. Now, the point isn't what the final score was versus my prediction. The point is that the good news, no, I will say the great news for Auburn fans is that everything that we covered last week and that I just itemized, you got a star here, you got a great unit. And by the way, I am so bullish on Brian Harsin and that staff and what he's doing. This is not an easy season for him. It's just there's so much on the field that has to be addressed, and then he's dealing with unprecedented things off the field. Still pandemic, Delta this, and social justice, and player movement, and oh yeah, player movement, transfer portal, oh yeah, that thing. That is such a factor that the NCAA is dropping brand new rules on programs saying, yeah, take seven more. It's fine. Sometimes when you're detailing a team's positive traits, it's like, you ever been to like a kid's Easter egg hunt? And like, you got to get out of the way of the Easter eggs. They just kind of throw them out there on the grass. Sometimes when you're like trying to go through and checklist a team's, it's like a kid's Easter egg hunt, man. They're just everywhere. Auburn, you do have to search a little, but they are there and they're real. 34-10. So, yeah, the great news for Auburn fans, everything I said is true. The great news for Georgia fans, you beat that team by 24. Auburn, to me, is looking very 7-5. Very tough SEC, round robin, close wins or losses, 7-5. Like a sharpened with steel, 7-5. Auburn beat them by 24. Georgia beat them by 24. Now, that is a fair summary, at least, and we have guests coming up, and we will deep dive on all the teams that had the big wins and one that had a huge loss. That's everything that happened in Jordan-Hare on Saturday. What happened a few hours later in College Station? I'm going to make a statement. Dan, listen to this statement and tell me if it's really a compliment or a positive statement or not. It took 41 points to beat Bama. Okay. See, to me, that's not really a positive. Do we all get that? I mean, I had a Bama fan say yesterday, took 41 points to beat us. I'm like, that's not really a check in the box like you want it. I mean, he missed it, right?
I would think so with the onset of defense kind of coming back, but it's impressive he was even able to get a word out, because most of the Bama fans I talked with, they struggled with that.
Yeah, they were still breathing into paper bags. That's a quote. It took 41 points to beat us. Now, he wasn't playing. But I just kind of looked at him and I was like, you realize that's not quite the declaration and chest out that you believe it is. It took 41 points to beat Bama. And Texas A&M scored them. And so impressive for the Aggies, they came back. You were outmanned, absolutely. You're outcoached. You were not out home field. I mean, Bama's players don't get spooked by going, oh my gosh, visiting fans. But I have to, and I have my rule, always start, let's give the kids in the maroon helmet some credit, you know? They made plays, and they're not as talented. Some of them are as talented as players at the position anywhere in America. 1 through 85, yeah, not as talented. And here's the key. When the not as talented were running on home crowd emotion, when it's pop, 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 right in the choppers to start like the fourth round, okay, all of a sudden that emotion, yeah, you're not scoring 10-9 anymore. That's not how it's going. When that team that's running on emotion and a couple of big pops and, hey, we've got the lead and we can pull this off. When you lose the lead and then when you're down a touchdown, you don't come back. Texas A&M did. We will discuss the Aggies, the Tide, obviously the Georgia Bulldogs, all of it in depth as we go through the program today. All the huge games from what was a monster weekend in college football. That's today on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Continuing with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. And as I started the show by saying, there were positives last week. We talked about the Auburn Tigers and improvements they had made, specifically at offensive line, at quarterback. There were some deficiencies. Receiver, the secondary for some reason doesn't cover, and they got talented upperclassmen. But we went through all the positives, and I said, and folks, I'm a graduate of Auburn, and I was like, 35-9. And that's what I came up with, 35-9, and 34-10. And like I said, the point isn't the anecdotal nature of the prediction was pretty close. It's that I stacked up every positive I could come up with, and I still had them losing by 3 touchdowns. Every positive from a really well-coached team, in my opinion, with an upperclassman experienced who is now a bit under control quarterback. All of that stuff I talked about, and I said, yeah, and I think Georgia wins by about 3 touchdowns. That's how good Georgia is, and I think they're still getting better. There is a question to be asked, and I cannot fast forward past Kentucky. I cannot fast forward Florida and, you know, whoever else is on the schedule. But the question is going to start getting asked. Bottom line, with Stetson Bennett starting a quarterback, can Georgia beat Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma in a 3-game succession? That's going to be the question that we're all kind of working around to, because the more I look at this regular season, I already didn't think Georgia had a lot of landmines on the schedule. They have some tough opponents. They're better than all of them, and I mean way, way better. I want to welcome on right now a man who covers that team on a day-to-day basis from 247. It is Jake Rowe. Brother, how are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. How you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. I'm sure you did a little Auburn recon before kickoff, and you probably came away, hey, they look better. They look like they've kind of stopped the bleeding a little bit. I thought that, and I had no expectation that they would be in there swinging in the fourth quarter just because of what Georgia is. What was your impression of Auburn as an opponent going into that game?
You know, I thought it was a tough matchup for them because they're another team that really needs to be able to run the football to be, you know, successful offensively. And I know that's the team that any team that wants to run the ball against Georgia is going to have to fight that uphill battle. And, you know, I thought that they had a really good plan. I thought that they played really hard. I thought they kind of caught Georgia even playing maybe its B-plus game. But it's just a little too much. And it's tough to expect a coach who is in, you know, his sixth game as the head coach of the school kind of match up there when, you know, you've got a coach that's in his sixth year and has had a chance to build the roster like you want. So there's a different expectation there. And, you know, I thought Auburn played really hard and did everything it could, but Georgia was just too deep and too tough of a matchup for them.
All right, I'm going to go through the receivers because the ground game was what it was. I mean, Auburn, again, they kind of stood there and they were tough, and Georgia's offensive line was better, and those backs, you know, it was predictable, and it kind of played out that way. And so I want to ask you about receivers because I'm looking at Georgia's leading receivers. I'll just go in order from the other day. McConkey, freshman. Bowers, freshman. Washington, sophomore. Mitchell, freshman. Those are your top – like, the point is, Jake – we all talk about Stetson Bennett. Georgia doesn't even have all the receivers right now that they're supposed to. And we're just all concentrating on the quarterback and evaluating him. It's not like it's been, you know, just smooth, perfect asphalt for Stetson Bennett as well. Talk about the receiver group.
Yeah, I mean, Jermaine Burton not playing in that game because of a groin injury. Made the trip, so obviously that's a good sign as far as what they feel about it. Jermaine Burton is probably – he came into the game as Georgia's second leading receiver, but probably the number one guy if you're game planning outside that you've got to try and, you know, deal with. Well, he wasn't available. So Ladd McConkey goes from slot to the Z receiver, has the best game of his career. You know, A.D. Mitchell catches a touchdown – makes a couple really nice plays. You know, Darnell Washington gets involved. Brock Bowers gets involved. you know, Georgia's going to get at some point Arian Smith back, and they're going to get Marcus Rosemy-Jack Saint back, and they're going to get Dominic Blaylock back, and you know, maybe even George Pickens. So this Georgia, and that's not even to say, you know, that listen, I know that, you know, you talk about Stetson Bennett and how well he's played and whatnot, but at the end of the day, JT Daniels is still probably the better quarterback, and he's not healthy either. So, you know, if you can just, you know, broaden the scope to the entire Georgia passing game right now. And it's one that has a lot of potential to get significantly better as people get healthy and as they get back to full strength.
Let's talk about the defense. Again, as you were on the line there, I was like, Auburn's offensive line's better. They got a great running back in Tank, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it didn't really matter. And Auburn actually kind of put together what looked like scoring drives against the Georgia defense. And even Tank got in the end zone, for gosh sakes. And it still was I'm watching the game, and I never had 1 minute of that entire game where I really thought Georgia was threatened defensively. Like, I saw Auburn make some plays, and I was like, well, that's a good play. Bo roped one to Hudson right on the sidelines. I was like, wow, what a great throw. I still never – it never accumulated to the point where I thought Georgia was going to really be threatened. What was your take?
It looked frantic. Like, it looked like, yeah, Auburn was moving the ball, and Bo Nix deserved a lot of credit, especially for that opening drive, some of the things that they did. But, you know, in real time, I was kind of like, well, maybe Georgia hadn't woke up yet. But then you go back and you watch the game, and you're like, man, that was improvised. You know, that was a couple of fourth down conversions. It was like Auburn used a lot of energy to get down the field, and then eventually, because of the nature of having to drive that many plays and do that many things, something ended up going wrong, and Auburn wasn't able to overcome that. But, yeah, I mean, Bo Nix did a really good job of buying time. He didn't get a lot of help from his receivers. He deserved better than what he got, and that's why I think Georgia's game was probably BB+, because, you know, there were some times where you could tell that, you know, a guy maybe wasn't quite where he should have been, or a guy didn't make a play on the football. And, you know, but Georgia's defense had started with stopping the run. And you know, that just goes to show you that if a team's a run-first team, if a team wants to build off of the run, it goes into that Kirby Smart philosophy of stop the run first. If a team has to be able to do that, then you make them play left-handed, and it's just not quite as effective. But I thought Auburn still had a good plan, and, you know, Bo Nix played his heart out, yep. And that was kind of the way it just went.
Just to sort of take the turn away from Jordan Hare and towards the rest of Georgia's season now, just in general health exiting the Auburn game.
Well, I mean, Jamari Sawyer, you know, sprained an ankle in that game. You know, I thought that might end up being a big development. This is where recruiting comes in. Broderick Jones, former five-star prospect from Latonia, comes in and plays really well. Like, played better than I expected him to play. I thought, you know, you may have had a couple of miscues there. He had none and played extremely well. I was really impressed with how he played. And then, you know, one of the spots where Georgia has to stay healthy is now banged up a little bit, and that's at safety, where Chris Smith got hurt on the opening drive, delivered a big hit. Came out of the game. Dan Jackson, a former walk-on, comes in, does a pretty good job. The silver lining there is, if Chris Smith has to miss a game or two, if he has to miss the Kentucky game and maybe get back after the bye, that Georgia does now have Tyke Smith, who was able to play on Saturday, and it's back in the fold as well. So, you know, we'll see kind of how they handle that. But Dan Jackson ended up leading the team in tackles, and Auburn wasn't able to pick on him. So, you know, maybe he's you know, kind of been that, you know, wow, maybe this kid should have had a scholarship from the jump type guy, because he has done a pretty good job. He's probably in that Stetson Bennett category, too, that question you asked earlier. Can he be Georgia's safety for a playoff run? And that, you know, I tend to say no, but you just never know.
Real quick, Stetson. I mean, I'm not being flippant here. I was like, smoke money just killed Stetson Bennett. I saw that head go back, and it was right on the face. Man, it wasn't in 10, I don't believe. How that kid was not a neck sprain or anything?
Apparently not, man. He got up and was the
he's making the call.
Cheerleader for the targeting call. Yeah, he saw it coming. I don't know, man. He's a different cat. He just is. And I don't say that you know, to say that Stetson Bennett deserves to be in the upper echelon of quarterbacks in college football, and or that he can lead Georgia to the promised land, I don't know. I have my doubts about that. But as I said last year when Stetson came in and beat Arkansas, Stetson is probably the best ping pong player on the team. He's probably a really, you know, yep. Jake Kamard has already said it. He's an annoyingly good golfer. He's probably, you know, can pick up volleyball and play. I mean, he's just a guy, man. He's just a competitor and an athlete, and he's probably maybe the best video game player on the team.
Jake, we got to run, brother. We will talk to you again as we get through the season.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Texas A&M 41, Alabama 38. And I told you the most impressive part, at least to me, was that the early Texas A&M, hey, we jumped on them. That's like the first or second round of a heavyweight fight. That's the guy from the Burbs sprinting past all the professionals so he can say, I led the marathon or whatever. That's what it's supposed to be. And on sports, especially in football, because like I said, we were talking on Friday, football is the one sport where I'm encouraged to put my hands on you and move you. And so the emotion only gets you so far. And so I'm watching that game thinking this is going to peter out. And then it really didn't, but Alabama started making plays, and Alabama got the lead, and I was sitting on my couch hundreds of miles away thinking, all right, I know how this is going to go, and then it didn't. And so for everything we can talk about for the first three quarters of this ball game, and there were so many just monster plays, the big takeaway to me was, in addition to everything positive we found out about the Aggies for the first three quarters, folks, they came back, and it wasn't Ole Miss, and it wasn't Tennessee. It was Bama they came back on. I want to welcome on right now a guy that I always love talking to when the Aggies are the subject. We always talk to him from Rivals.com. Love having him on. It is Mark Passwaters. Brother, how are you today?
Well, Chuck, I'm better than I would be if they had lost. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, same thing with Jimbo, that's for sure. Let's talk going into the game, because here's what I said on Friday, that it's not even really about tomorrow night. It's about how you get out of the game, because then you have Missouri and South Carolina, teams you really can beat. I'm calling – that was me 3 days ago. What was your feel? What was the general expectation going into Saturday night?
Well, somebody asked me on Friday, make a case for A&M winning, and I went, I can't, you know, because there was no indication that they were ready to take this step. You take a look at what Zach Calzada had done in the last two games, and there were flashes, especially against Mississippi State, but it still it looked like a guy who was running scared and didn't have confidence in himself or his line. Still wasn't connecting with his receivers. You know, the only shred of hope that you had was they'll get a little bit healthy. You know, they get Chase Lane back. They'll get Caleb Chapman back. They'll get Keldrick Carper back. And Jimbo kept on saying, oh, he had a good week of practice. He had a great week of practice, in fact. And I posted that on Friday and said, well, take it for what it's worth. So what? And, well, we found out what so what was. He was able to translate it, a good week of practice, onto, you know, a superior performance. And they didn't get Chapman back. They got Carper back. Lane only had a catch. You had to scramble again on the offensive line because Jameer Johnson got suspended. And you know what? They were able to go out there and physically beat the number one team in the country. And that's what everybody's been waiting for.
You know, Mark, you went right to it because I had said leading up to the game, I said, I'm tired of hearing about all, you know, Achane and Spiller. And yeah, it's like, yeah, Weidemeyer, they're all great players. Absolutely. None of it matters because of Kenyon Green and freshman. I was like, it just doesn't matter at this point. How did that offensive line not be the story in a bad way on Saturday night? Because it is studs everywhere at all the shiny, sparkly places on the depth chart. But on the offensive line, I was like, folks, it ain't going to matter. What was the difference Saturday night?
Well, it's something that you and I actually talked about back in Hoover at SEC Media Games, where I said that individually they're more talented than last year's offensive line. But how long is it going to take for them to mesh as a group? And you started to see it last weekend against Mississippi State, where the grouping of Jameer Johnson, Kenyon Green at left guard, Bryce Foster at center, Layden Robinson at right guard, and Deuce Fathery at right tackle, that they look like a group for the first time. And then Johnson goes out, gets suspended. At the last second, you've got to move Green back to left tackle. Yeah. Blake Treanor, who's a tackle, comes in at guard, and they didn't miss a beat. And I've got to think that it's just finally you've got five individuals, be they who it was Saturday night or the Saturday night before, that have learned to work as a group. And individually, they played much better last night or on Saturday night. But as a group, they were outstanding. And I think that and Calzada's performance, which are they're probably inextricably linked, are two things that A&M fans should be really excited about today.
So when Alabama, I mean, it was, what, 31-17 at one point, and Alabama comes all the way back, and then they get the they have the lead with about 5 minutes. In fact, I think it was exactly 5 minutes left. Again, with a young quarterback, young here, young there, young at receiver, young everywhere, and, you know, we kind of took our shot. A&M, that's a game, and it's no indictment, I'm not saying on the Aggies, but the opponent to Alabama, you fold 10 at that point. You say, you know what, we gave it our best shot, and we almost did it, but why didn't that happen with the Aggies with 5 minutes to go in the game on Saturday night? Because that's how it was supposed to go.
I think that it comes down to want to. I think that they were embarrassed the last 2 weeks. Those are two opponents they should have beaten, and they know it. And they looked at it and went, okay, we've come this far, and if you take a look at a heavyweight fight, it could be the guy who got knocked down in the 10th round but is still in the, you know, still in the fight on points. You got to sit there and be like, okay, we got to find a couple more big punches. And, you know, they just believed. That was the thing that has separated Jimbo Fisher's teams from Kevin Sumlin's teams. You take a look at it. They got behind against LSU in 2019 and came back and won that game. They got behind against Clemson, you know, in the second game of Jimbo's tenure, and that thing came down to the wire. These guys don't quit. They've got that kind of mental discipline, and I think that's a credit to the coaching staff, but it's also a credit to the players. They sat there and went, look, we've done it. We did it in the first half. We've got something left. And, you know, to the astonishment of myself and virtually everybody else, they were right.
I want to ask you one more thing about Saturday night, and it was it would be obviously, you know, off the field. What kind of – and I don't know this one way or the other. Was it a big recruiting environment? Was it a big recruiting opportunity? Did they have studs in, or was it just another Saturday night at the game?
There were more studs there than in the King Ranch. If you get my meaning.
Oh, yeah.
This was a packed house in more ways than one. You had 106,000 fans, but you also had some outstanding recruits there. Walter Nolan, who Rivals has as the number one player in the country, he was there. Bear Alexander, who's the number three defensive tackle in the country, he was there. They had commits from Ohio State and Florida that were there. They had a lot of high four stars and five stars that they're in the mix for, that were at that stadium, watched that game. And, I mean, from Jimbo's perspective, it couldn't have worked out any better. You look at it, okay, we just beat number one. We just did it with a crazy crowd in a crazy fashion. But if you were here, it wouldn't have been close. Now, do you want to come here and win a game, or you want to go somewhere and win a big game, or you want to come here and win a championship? You know, the sales pitch was written for him. And, you know, I shouldn't do this, but tell me anybody in America had a worse day than Steve Sarkisian when Seth Smalls' ball went through the goal.
Brother, you ain't lying. You and what's going on cross state always matter. Wrapping up with Mark Passwaters again, rivals. And I want to ask you about going forward because they have Missouri. They're on the road. They go to Columbia, Missouri on Saturday. Have you turned your attention at all? Have you watched the Tigers at all this season?
I started doing some looking last night. And because I couldn't watch the Astros game after the fourth inning.
Well, let me save you some time. Me, you, and nine guys will play better defense, particularly against the run. So it is not a real setup as a trap game, but I saw Mississippi State exhale a little bit and with the officials lose in Memphis. There's no scenario where there would be such a big exhale on, you know, this roster 1 through 85 that there's danger in Como, is there? Because that team is bad.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to say. Is they've given up 138 points in the last three games. And they haven't been playing murderer's row. It was Boston College, Tennessee, and North Texas.
They got outgamed by North Texas.
Yeah, and North Texas is bad.
Yep.
Flat out be bad. So I think that, you know, starting today, Jimbo's probably going to come in and be on them because you don't want to give them that chance to breathe. Because, you know, I remember the last time A&M beat a number one in College Station, it was OU in 2002. And guess who they played the next week? Missouri. And they lost. So that, I'm sure, is, you know, even though that's a long time ago.
Is that Reggie McNeil, maybe?
Yeah, and Reggie got hurt in that game. I was there. you know, you can't have that kind of letdown. And Jimbo's the kind of coach that is going to seize on the opportunity to kind of drive that home starting today.
Any injuries of note? Anybody coming back?
Well, that's a good question. Hopefully Caleb Chapman's coming back, but it's Zach Calzada's football team. Haynes King is done for the year. So I think maybe that could have had a little bit to do with his play Saturday night and the fact that he just relaxed and stopped pressing.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything to prove. It's his ball club now because the backup is a true freshman walk-on. So, just go for it.
Hey, they showed him warming up the other day. Like, obviously, you're at the ball game. I looked at that kid, and I told my wife, I was like, I can't tell you anything about him except he probably has 32 teeth. I was like, A&M, they don't want this. Can you give me one fun fact, one nugget about who the true freshman was that was warming up?
His name is Blake Boast, and he had scholarship offers from Arkansas State and Lamar.
Well, there you go, Mark. I appreciate you shining a light on it, brother. We will talk to you soon, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Chuck.
All right. Mark Pass. I was like, I don't know anything about him. I can't tell. I don't remember him from recruiting. Like, Zach Calzada, I remember from recruiting. And I was like, I know so little about him. Only thing I can tell you is Texas A&M does not want this. But as I said, they go on the road. Dan, did you watch any Missouri North? If you didn't, you're okay. You're okay.
No.
Okay, good for you. Wise choice. You deemed other things more valuable. Missouri's bad, and they can score. And we need a flyover, and we'll do this tomorrow from the over the entire conference. The ACC, I want to do it as well. My basic ACC topic is dissolve the ACC. But in the SEC right now, there's a lot of evolving personalities on some of these teams.
And for the betting folk out there, 9.5 is the early one I saw from some of the odds that Cole Kiebelick threw out last night on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I said, well, there's a reason why those buildings out in Vegas are so big, so nice, so pretty, is because they're so good at knowing what can happen in the coming up game. And I said, 9.5 with that Missouri offense or that Missouri defense? I think I'm taking A&M, but they must know something.
Yeah, and you look at what happened. Yeah, I said the other day, Missouri, same thing with the Michigan and Nebraska game. I thought Michigan would, and I think it landed right on the number 3. But Missouri, 48-35. Well, you know, North Texas, they can sling it around a little bit, and I guess they kind of hung and made some plays. That's not what happened. North Texas, I'll say by some measures, outplayed the SEC team. Missouri was plus four in turnovers. So North Texas, there's a principle in the NFL. When you're out in the field, they'll give you yards. They don't even care about it. You get in the red zone, okay, that's how you win in the NFL. Missouri has that kind of attitude for the entire field. I mean, they don't get in your way. So there's more to talk about with Missouri, but I did want to – yeah, they gave up 493 yards to North Texas, a not good Sun Belt team. Not good. They're 1-4, and you gave up almost 500 yards. So Jimbo's looking around. That's the danger. But they can score, and they took advantage of some turnovers, and so they got what looked like a good – Missouri's 3-3. Folks, they got issues. When does your team get to play Missouri? You know there's this thing in the East called the Vandy bounce, that the week after you play Vandy, all of your stats take a little bounce? And so I'm telling you, folks, through the first half of the season, because at that point it will get diluted. So when we're 6 or 7 weeks in, I will stop doing this. But for the first half of the season, I will look at a team in, like, rushing yards where, Tennessee ranks in the conference, or whoever ranks in the conference. Or, you know, if you've played Vanderbilt, that's the Vanderbilt bounce. And so it explains away. And I went, okay, well, I see where Florida is ranked right now, but it's not actually that. They got the Vandy bounce. There's a Missouri bounce now. Tennessee got it. And Tennessee, man, they've gone north of 100. They've gone north of 100 points the past couple of weeks. So they've got a roll on as well. So just good stuff there from Josh Heupel, at least on that side of the football. And they're playing interesting games. So anyway, we're going to take a break. Come back. Wrap up hour one next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Well, our quarterback's unbelievable. He made a great play to number 13, Braylon. And we managed to play as bad as defense as you physically possibly can just to keep the crowd around to the last play. So we won. So finally, we can go have some popcorn.
Big fan of Lane Kiffin. Really am. And always very accommodating. Always very nice with his time. He's come on several times with us and just likes talking ball. Absolutely loves talking ball. And they put half a hundred on Arkansas the other day, but you can't just use the generic. That was Barry Switzer. I don't know where Barry heard it, or maybe Barry said it first, but Barry, when he was a head coach at Oklahoma, his phrasing was, let's drop half a hundred on him. And he, like, that was his goal. By the way, they didn't throw the ball. He wanted to go north of 50 on the ground. And then you would see the paper on Sunday morning, and they beat Oklahoma State 70-6. So they'd get there. But it wasn't just half a hundred, because that would not have been enough. I said earlier that I had a Bama fan, someone that I'm friends with, took 41 to beat Bama. It's like, let's talk about that statement you just made. If Ole Miss had scored, can you use the phrase only 50? Because if Ole Miss had scored only 50, only half a hundred, They'd have lost, folks, 52-51. And I don't see the kicker coming on the field. I don't think he is coming on the field. That was Sam Pittman. He decided Saturday correctly. It didn't work out. Second. Who wants to go for two? Second. You're on the road. You haven't played defense. They're way better on offense, which means, I don't believe in luck. It doesn't exist. In fact, it's not a thing. But it wasn't probably the most likely scenario for you to even be here. If you would have asked Sam Pittman at kickoff, and I know expectations and injuries and things can evolve. Hey, you're on the road playing that bunch. How about one play from the three? Heck yeah, sign me up. Well, that's what he got, one play from the three. And he decided to go for two after, Jefferson, so impressed with him. Tough running the ball, and then he made a big pass at the end to draw even with an extra point. And Sam Pittman's like, no, we're going to go for two because we're on the road and all these other reasons. And so that was Lane Kiffin talking afterwards that, yeah, we won, and yeah, I'm happy about that. But we played defense as bad as it's possible to play defense. I told you what my buddy Bama fan said. It took 41 points to beat us. Well, I also heard from an Ole Miss fan, good buddy of mine. And his sentiments were, look who's suddenly back in the race in the West. No, Ole Miss isn't suddenly anything. The most beneficial sudden to Ole Miss right now, today, would be to suddenly be average on defense. That would be what Ole Miss suddenly is average on defense. That's way more of an interesting declaration to me than, hey, look who's back in the race all of a sudden. This was the unfolded complete idea from my friend. Look who's suddenly back in the race in the West. What are you talking about? Us! Bama's got a loss now. We run the table. Somebody else beats Bama. Do you know the part we always just breeze right past in these scenarios? When the team ahead of us lost, and so now we're tied. Well, they got the tiebreaker. Oh, I know. Hey, we handle our business. They lose one more. The part we always just breeze right past is the, hey, win the rest of our games. We always take that as it's easy. All right, look, Ole Miss will not lose a single time the rest of the season, which, Lord knows, it could happen. It could. It was doing a whole lot of work in that declaration, though. Hey, you know what? We'll just skip right past it. We'll get to the end of the season. We're 11-1. As long as somebody beats Alabama, yeah, if somebody else in conference beats Alabama, that will give them two losses. And you're assuming you don't have another one. When Florida lost to Alabama, all right, you know what? I feel so good about us. Look, somebody beats Georgia, we'll take care of it in Jacksonville, or we'll just beat them in Jacksonville and win the tiebreaker. Now you're talking about maybe Kentucky wins. We'll win the rest of our games. It's always the assumption, it's like, you know what, if we didn't have injuries, well, no, but you had them, a bunch of them. So that is the sentiment, and it's after an exciting game. It was as exciting game as it was all weekend, and this weekend, nothing but exciting. Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, fantastic ball game. Liberty, fantastic ball. I mean, up and down the schedule, every single FCS all the way up to the Alabama, Texas A&M kick at the end. Like, literally the end. Arkansas Ole Miss was as good as any of them. But the Arkansas season is now going in the sort of expected, predictable way ahead of the Georgia game. Ole Miss has decided, you know what, we're not going to lose that game.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.